too, Brother Larry. Praise God. But God is good, amen? And we got to let our light shine. And it's a good thing to sing praises unto God. You know, work can be hard enough. The week can be hard enough. But when we begin to praise, God brings joy. Amen? Praise God. Let's go in our Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 8. God has spoken to me during the week, and I feel very led of the Lord to speak what I'm speaking today. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 8. And we're going to read a few portions of Scripture, verse 1 to 8, and then we're going to go down to verse 18 and 19. Praise the Lord. Have you got it in your Bibles? If you don't have it in your Bibles, it's on the screen. But I do encourage people to bring their Bible to church, because you can't write notes on the screen, but you can write little notes next to the Scriptures. You can circle, you can underline, and you can take notes in your margin if you've got a big enough margin as well. But the Bible says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag." Everyone say Ziklag. "On the third day," so it was a three-day journey to Ziklag, "that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein." They didn't slay them, they didn't kill them, either great or small, old people, young people, "but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were there lifted up their voice, and they wept." Everyone say they wept. "They wept until they had no power to weep anymore. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was so grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters, but David, everyone say, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You know, sometimes everyone around you is not going to be able to help you. David's there, everybody's grieving, everybody's angry, they're wanting to stone him. He says, "What am I going to do?" The Bible says they were grieving, every man, his sons and daughters, they were speaking of stoning David. But David had a choice. David said, "You know what? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord." And so David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, go and bring my ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord. And David went to the Lord and asked, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And God answered him and said, "Pursue." Everyone say, "Pursue." "For thou shalt surely overtake, and without fail recover all." Everybody say all. Now, I don't profess to be some great theologian, but I do know that all means all. In the Greek, Hebrew, whatever you want, all means all. It doesn't mean part. David recovered all. We go down to verse 18 and 19, and David recovered all. Somebody say amen. "Recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them." They got it all. "Neither small nor great, nor sons or daughters. And they even took spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them." David, what does it finish with? Three words. David recovered all. Now, when I was in youth, when I was a young person, maybe not even that long ago, there was a wonderful gospel artist in the U.S. by the name of Ty Tribbett, and he used to sing a song, "I Want It All Back," all right? And so when you get home, you can go to YouTube, look up "I Want It All Back," Ty Tribbett. But that's where I got my inspiration for the title today. My title today is simply this: I Want It All Back. Can we say that? I want it all back. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I want it all back. I want it all back." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. And Lord, we've come ready. Our hearts are ready for the seed of your word. So let our hearts be soft and be able to receive that word in faith today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want it all back. We watch that song, you'll know what I mean and why I was inspired. But I believe as I was preparing for this message today that God would speak to us about restoration, renewal, and revival. Restoration, renewal, and revival. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and declare that, you know, we don't have any difficulties, that ever since we came to Jesus, that life has been just so easy, that life is like a bed of roses. Even as Christians, we will face trials, tribulations. And Jesus said, don't be shocked when you face trials and tribulations. You will face them, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so, I will say this today, despite our circumstances, despite our trials, despite whatever we go through, we can still walk in victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me say that again. We can still walk in victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is our victory? In Jesus. It's not in your own strength. And some of you can testify, you can say, you know what, I tried to do this on my own. But when I started walking and living this life for Jesus, I found a strength that surpasses all strength that I have myself. And so we can walk in victory. And so for our text today, I've taken an Old Testament passage. I've taken an Old Testament account of David. And this was the hardest day of David's life, the hardest day of his life. And when we read this, we can see the way that David responds. And I believe that this story of David and Ziklag and his army, it is there for our encouragement. Now, some people will say, you can just put the Old Testament aside, just stick to the New Testament. And yeah, the New Testament is the new one, and that's great. That's where the gospel is and all of those things. That's where Jesus lived, and we read about his life. But the Old Testament all points towards Jesus. And the Old Testament gives us so many types and shadows, which really underpins the New Testament and gives so much power to the New Testament. And just in case you're wondering, that's not just my opinion, but Paul also said this about the Old Testament. In the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, such things were written. He's talking about the Old Testament. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And so we can be taught things when we read the Old Testament scriptures. And it goes further. Paul goes further. He says, the Old Testament is there to teach us. It is also there, the scriptures are there to give us hope. And so when I read Old Testament accounts of David, when I read about Samuel, when I read about Moses, those things are there to teach us. They are there also to give us hope and encouragement. How many people know sometimes we just need some hope? Yeah, how many people know we need encouragement? And how many people know that sometimes that we have to wait on God's promises? Sometimes we have to wait. You know, sometimes when you pray, God can answer yes, no, and wait. And we don't like the waiting. But Paul said there are a lot of people in the Old Testament that had to wait. And he said, go back and read about them, because as they will encourage us and give us hope as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Yes, no, and wait. Now, there's a story about a man in Germany back in 1997. This man in the city of Frankfurt in Germany, he lost his car. He thought it was stolen. And how many people have lost their car at the shopping center? Anyone? Anyone put their hand up? Yep, good. Now, when I lose my car, I'll tell you what I do. On my key, I've got an alarm, all right? A button I can press. So I just walk. Well, in the city, that's the worst, because there's so many car parks in the city. And so I just walk around just pressing that alarm button, you know? And then suddenly a car will start alarming and I'll finally find my car. But this man in Frankfurt, Germany, he parked his car. He went and did what he needed to do, but he lost it. He couldn't find it, and so he reported the car as stolen to the police. 20 years later, the authorities in the city tracked him down because of this missing vehicle, only to discover the man who owned it had in fact just forgotten where he had parked the car. He assumed it was stolen. And that's happened to me before. I remember thinking, someone stole my car. I'm sure it was there. But it was a different car park, just the same sort of car park, but a different place in the city. And so the vehicle was found in the garage, an old industrial building. They were getting ready to demolish it, and they needed to get rid of that car. And so, according to the German regional newspaper, the Augsburger, it says, the man, now 76 years old, was driven by police with his daughter to be reunited with his car. Unfortunately, the car was no longer functional. It had to be scrapped. But you know what? It was right where he left it. It's not nice to lose things. It's not nice to misplace something. It's not nice to have something stolen. And let me tell you, we have an enemy of our soul. And sometimes one of our greatest enemies is our flesh. Everyone say our flesh. I'm just going to say this. Sometimes we blame the devil too much when it's our fault in the first place. But we have an enemy of our soul. And the Bible says in John 10:10, it calls the enemy of our soul, the devil, it calls him a thief. In John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life. Come on, somebody. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so there is an enemy, the devil, that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so I stand here today. I don't know what has been taken from you. I don't know what has distracted you. I don't know how you ended up on this detour and this journey. I don't know how you got where you got today. But I've come simply to remind you of this, that our God is a God of restoration. Our God is a God of renewal. And our God is a God of revival. Does anybody agree with me today? That's my God. Amen. We can. Like David, who lost it all, we can recover all today. I tell you, the enemy hasn't got anything that you can't recover in Jesus' name. It's Deuteronomy chapter 28, and is a portion of scripture that I got this morning, but I didn't put on the slides, so you'll need to turn there in your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to read. This is a wonderful portion of scripture because it speaks about the blessings of obedience. A lot of preachers like to preach about blessings. Why do they like to preach about blessings? Because people love to hear about blessings. But the blessing comes from being obedient to God. In fact, the blessing comes from being under the king's domain. And yesterday, last night, there was the coronation of the king. He is the king of the United Kingdom, all right? And so he is the king. That means he is the ruler, and he has a domain that he rules over. And kings can make rules. And the blessing comes from being in the king's domain. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the kingdom is the king's domain, the place where the king rules. And if you live in that kingdom, you can be blessed. If you live according to the king's rules, you can be blessed. And that's what Deuteronomy chapter 28 is about. And we've read it before. And it shall come to pass if. Everyone say if. This is important. That word if is very important. It's conditional. And it shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God. Okay. If you observe God's commandments, God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Okay? Okay, now if you obey God's word, it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. You're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed in the field. Blessed is the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the ground, the fruit of the cattle, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep. Your basket will be blessed. Your store will be blessed. When you come in and when you go out, you're going to be blessed. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee, and they will be smitten before thy face. They shall come in one way, and they're going to run seven ways. The Lord thy God will command a blessing upon your storehouses. Everybody say if. There's a conditional if there. And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods, all of those things. And the Lord, I like verse 13 because I like to pray this one. And I like to remind myself of this as well. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Everybody say, I'm the head, not the tail. I am the head, not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If, everybody say if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. There is a blessing in obedience. I know people don't like to talk about obedience. People love to talk about blessings, but the blessing comes through obedience. And the reality is here for every single one of us who have been alive for any amount of time on this earth. We know that there are battles that we are going to face. We know that there are going to be times when we're waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our life. There'll be times of sickness. There'll be times of question. There'll be times when we're in trials, even in the dark, feeling like we got nowhere to go. There will be battles. But despite all of that, Jesus said, I'm coming for my church that will be without spot or wrinkle. But he didn't say without scars or wounds. Because in this world, you will have tribulation. Yes, even as a Christian, you will pick up wounds and scars. Even the disciples of Jesus, most of them died as martyrs for Jesus Christ. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so he's coming back for a bride. Everyone say a bride. That's the church. And the bride is to be holy, the Bible says, without spot or wrinkle. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have to go through battles. For every battle, we can be victorious. We can be victorious. And Jesus gave us in the Ephesians, it says that we are given the armor of God. And so we would be foolish to go and fight a spiritual battle without the spiritual armor. And some of us, this is just a reality, there are a lot of Christians, even in this church, that are taking a whipping from the devil at a very low level. Very low level things. There are things whipping us that shouldn't be whipping us. There are things getting us down which shouldn't be getting us down. And that is because we haven't taken the whole, everybody say whole. Once again, that word whole means whole, it doesn't mean part. Take the whole armor of God. And if you want to go and study that, I think I'll preach it this year. I'll preach another series on the armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the belt of truth, all of those things, they are given to us so we can be victorious in the battle. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so I know, we're looking forward to that day when we get to heaven and we get to live in the sweet by and by. And we say, you know what? I know, Pastor. I'm going to be victorious when we're up there. There'll be no more crying. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death in the sweet by and by. But let me come to remind you that we can have victory now in the nasty now and now. We can still have victory through Jesus Christ. We can walk in victory. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that loved us. I want to remind you, you are a conqueror today. You don't have to live a defeated life. You are more than a conqueror. And so, we like David. How many people like David in the Bible? Yeah, put your hand up if you like. I mean, we all like him, but if you especially like David. All right. No, I don't like David. No. But if I was to go around and say, who's your favorite character in the Bible? A lot of you would say David. David, aside from Jesus, of course, David's my favorite because David We have so much about his life, about David. It's an inspiring history of his life, and we see it's exciting. He goes from position. He's out there with the sheep, and then he's fighting battles, and then he's sitting on the throne. But the good thing about David is this. The Bible does not sugarcoat the life of David. It'd be very easy, and you know, we do this at funerals a lot. We only talk about the good things, all right? And that's okay. But the Bible doesn't just tell us the good things that David did. The Bible tells us about his faults and his failings. It tells us everything. And I just want to say this. I'm inspired by that because I can relate to that. In fact, David's faults and failings actually helped David come a little bit closer to me. I can almost relate to him. In fact, I'm relieved that David's in the Bible. I'm almost rejoicing that David's in the Bible because with his faults, I can relate to him. I can see a wonderful testimony in David in that he went astray like a lost sheep, but was restored by God's grace. When he prayed that prayer in Psalm 51, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. But David is real. Everybody say real. And you know, we may have some bad days. But this day at Ziklag was a terrible day. Now, I'm not going to say that most of us have not experienced anything like what David experienced at Ziklag. To come back after 3 days' journey, your family all taken, everything taken by the enemy, gone. I'm not going to say that nobody's experienced stuff like that in our church because there are people that have. Now, for most of us that grew up in Australia, we haven't experienced that. But there are people in our church that have. And I'm not going to mention the name, but there is a brother in our church that his auntie and his two cousins were both, all of them were taken. They were held captive, and then all of three of them were beheaded last week. That's terrible. Very shocking. But there are people in our church that go through real hard things. David's at Ziklag. And it is the worst day of his life. He's broken. He's there after 3 days' journey. He's got these men, this ragtag bunch army that are hanging out with him in the cave. And he's there with them, and he brings them back to Ziklag, and they're looking forward to seeing their family. They're looking forward to being reunited, celebrating, and as they come over the hill, they can see some smoke. The city's been leveled. The city, all their loved ones are gone, taken captive. All their things are gone. This is one of the most devastating and broken days of David's life. But you know what? It is so real. We see what David goes through, and we see the way that he responds. And I want to bring out some things in this account, the way David responds, because there are some powerful steps to victory that you and I can take when we're in Ziklag. Now, our Ziklag might not be the same as David's Ziklag. Our Ziklag might not be like someone else's Ziklag. But when I look at David and see what David did, it inspires me. It gives me some powerful steps, what I can do when I get to Ziklag. And here it is, brothers and sisters. You may have been through Ziklag. You may be in Ziklag. And if you haven't been through it and you're not in it, one day you will have your own Ziklag. We can learn from David. What did David do? You see, you must also remember that we know the end. David ends up sitting on the throne. But to get to the throne, he had to go through Ziklag. Very important to realize that sometimes even in God taking us to our destiny, we still have to go through some hard things. And so what happened? The Amalekites had taken everything. And the word Amalekite means those who exhaust. Everyone say exhaust. That's not the exhaust on a car. Those who exhaust, it means they take everything. When the coffee's exhausted, it's not there, all right? And so the Amalekites were known by their name, they exhaust, they take everything. They had destroyed, they had stolen everything. Now David's own men had turned against him, everything. So David's sitting there amongst the ruins of Ziklag. His family's gone. There's a mutiny in his army. They're wanting to stone him and blaming him for everything. But David had a choice. Everybody say a choice. Whatever you're facing, wherever you're sitting, you still have a choice. And the devil would like to come and tell you, you don't have a choice. You can't do anything about this. This is just fate and you just have to live with it. No, you still have a choice. In fact, you have a responsibility. You have the ability to respond and you have the ability to choose how you're going to respond. You have a responsibility. And so whatever you face, you still have the ability to choose how you're going to respond. And what did David do? He did what all of us would do first. He wept. And there's nothing wrong with weeping. Even Jesus wept. He wept. And so some people think, well, you know what? If you're a person of faith, you should never weep. But faith doesn't make you immune from having feelings. Faith doesn't make you immune from grieving and all those things and crying those tears. Faith does not mean that you're not going to have any feelings. But faith says, you know what? I know I'm weeping now. I know weeping may endure for the night. But faith says, but joy comes in the morning. I know I'm going to get through this season. I may be weeping now. And so David is there and he's weeping. But then, I don't know if, you know, he wasn't just weeping. He was weeping until he couldn't weep anymore. He had no power to weep anymore. But David did this in verse 6. It says that they were there ready to stone him. They were blaming him for everything. But, everyone say but. But is the revolving door. Okay? But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David says, I'm going to fight. He would have been angry at the enemy for taking, no doubt. He would have been grieving. He was crying. He said, I want to fight. I'm ready to fight. I got to do something about this. But before I fight, I've got to get my strength back. I've got to get my courage back. And so he looked around and he's like, you know what? It doesn't look like I'm going to get much encouragement from these people. You know, they're all discouraged and they're all there pouting and upset and all those sort of things. And so David encouraged himself in the Lord. He began to encourage himself. Now, we know a little bit about David because we know that he used to play the harp and he used to sing. And so no doubt part of David's encouragement would have been to sing psalms and to sing praise to God. Did he feel like singing? No. Do you feel like singing a song when you're in Ziklag, when you're in the pit, when everything seems to be turned against you, when the army that were meant to be with you are turning against you, everybody's blaming you? Do you really feel like singing? No. But the reality is that's the best thing you ought to do. For God inhabits the praises of his people. I want God to come and sit down in the middle of my circumstance. I'm going to build a tabernacle of praise so he can come and sit down there. When's the best time to come to church? When you're in Ziklag. When you need encouragement. See, sometimes we just associate singing with joy. But praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon that we can use. Praise is a way that we can encourage ourselves. And praise magnifies God. Worship speaks to the Lord, and we worship him and we commune with him. But praise reminds us of how great God is. And when we praise God, we magnify him. Everyone say magnify. You don't actually make God any bigger, but you are magnifying God in the perspective of your circumstances. And so sometimes what happens to us, our circumstances, we just get so up close and personal to them that we can't see anything else but everything that's happening to us. But as I begin to praise God, I am able to zoom out and I see the greatness of God and I see in perspective my circumstances and my trials are so small compared to the greatness of my God. And so no doubt, David would have got that old harp. I don't feel like doing this. You know, how shall we sing? You know, when we've been taken captive, they sang. They sat under the willow tree. They hung their harp up. But David said, no, I'm going to take my harp. In Psalm verse 34, and I know maybe he sang this. I will bless the Lord at... Oh, those words are hard to sing. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Right now I feel like grumbling. I feel like complaining. I even feel like giving up, but I will bless the Lord in good times and bad times, and there's going to be no room for grumbling because his praise is going to be continually in my mouth. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, he said, my soul, that's where you feel grief. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. You see, when there's a praise in your mouth, there's no room for grumbling. And some of us, if you're grumbling all the time, you got to start praising God again, all right? Let the grumbling be a sign. You know what? I got to start filling my mouth with the praises of God. I want to encourage myself in the Lord. You see, when you make God bigger, you make your trouble smaller. In perspective, it's simple, but it's true. And you know, Paul and Silas, they sat there, they're looking at the four walls, they're looking at their handcuffs on and the chains around their feet. But at midnight, Paul and Silas began to praise God, and God delivered them out of that. And so, David encouraged himself in the Lord. But then, David went to the Lord for a word. David needed a word from God. Everyone say, a word from God. A rhema word, not just a memory verse. David didn't just need the verse of the day, and that's good. Memory verses are great. The verse of the day is great. All of those things, they're great. The logos, the word of God is the logos. It's the story of the Bible, the logos. But another word for the word in the Bible is the word rhema, which is from the logos. But it is a specific word for a specific circumstance. David didn't just need a memory verse. David didn't just need the verse of the day. He said, I need a verse. I need a word from God for the circumstance that I'm facing right now. And you know, some of us need to go back to the word of God and say, God, I'm in this circumstance. I'm in this zigzag right now. And God, I need a word from you. When I go to church, the pastor, he's going to preach, and he's going to preach something that is going to speak to me. I'm going to open up my Bible in the morning, and when I take my devotion, God, I need a rhema word from God. We need a word from you, Lord. We need a word from you. If I don't get a word from you, what shall I do? The old song used to say, so pray when you're in zigzag, pray and say, God, speak a word to me. Speak a word when I go to church. Speak a word in my devotion. I need a word, because your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. Get into the word. Everyone say, get into the word. Go back to the word of God and remind yourself of what God says about you. I know what you say about you. And I know what people say about you. But what's going to get you through your zigzag is what God says about you. Go back to the Word of God and read what God says about you. Go back and remind yourself of the dominion that He has given you and the power that He has given you and the promises that He has given you. It is impossible for you to spend some time in the Word and not leave encouraged. Every time I read the Word of God, I'm not talking about reading the verse of the day again. No, I'm talking about getting into the Word of God and reading the Word of God, breaking it down. You know what? When you get up, you will be encouraged. That's why you ought to read the Bible at the beginning of the day. It will change your day. Get into the Word of God. Encourage yourself. Go to God. When you're in zigzag, when you're facing those terrible circumstances, get into the Word of God. And then David says this, go and get my ephod And the ephod speaks of prayer. The ephod speaks of praise. Some of us need to get our praise back. You need to make up your mind and say, you know what? My ephod of praise has been gone for too long. It wasn't stolen even. I just left it somewhere. The ephod of praise, get it back. Get back your prayer life again. When you're in Ziklag, you got to be like David and say, hey, Abathar, go get my ephod. I've got to get back to praise. I got to get back to prayer. And some of us, we're going to stay in Ziklag because we refuse to praise. We refuse to pray. You got to take that ephod again and say, no, I might be in Ziklag, but I'm coming out. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to get my prayer life back again. Amen. Amen. Take it as an encouragement today. Get your praise back. You say, oh, I'm not a good singer. Who cares? Sing in the shower. Turn the radio up. Get some praise and worship happening in your car on the way to church. Get in your room, in your prayer room, and pray out loud and pray unto God and sing songs. Be careful what you listen to. Well, music is the devil's greatest tool. Why? He was the music director in heaven. He knows the power of music. And the same is the flip side of that, the power of praise and worship to lift our spirit. If you're going to listen to worldly music, it's going to drag you down with its message. It's going to take you into a dark pit very quickly. But when you begin to praise God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I get my joy back. I'm magnifying God. David said, get my ephod. I'm ready to get through this Ziklag experience. And so David began to pray. He began to talk to the Lord in prayer. And he said, in prayer, he said, Lord, I need to know what to do. Lord, should I pursue them? I know what I feel like doing. Should I overtake them? And God spoke as David prayed. And God said, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them. And David, without fail, you're going to recover all. And this is what I'm getting at today. We need to have an attitude. Whatever the devil has stole from you, if he stole your joy, if he stole your peace, if he stole your passion, if he stole your vision, if he stole your fervor for God, you got to say to the devil, hey, devil, you've had it too long. I want it all back. And I know my God said that if I pursue, I will recover all. I've come to tell you today that you can recover all. You are not a victim. You are a victor. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. He loves you. You shall recover all. You got to pursue. Everybody say pursue. Or you say, oh, well, Pastor, I'll just sit here and God can just do the work. No, pursue. Sometimes you got to get back to praise. Get back to worship. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Do what you know to do, and God will do what you can't do. Pursue, David. You're going to overtake, and you're going to recover all. If the musicians could come. Some of us need to get a bad attitude with the devil. Everyone say a bad attitude. He stole. You just going to sit there? I tell you, we had somebody come to our house a couple of years ago. He was a thief. In fact, a thief came before the thief. Because we were in our house, just in the house, and a lady, an elderly lady, just walked into our house. My wife was in the kitchen. The boys had mowed the lawn, so they left the front door open. And this lady just walks on into our house. And she says, Melanie's in the kitchen. Melanie says, can I help you? And she says, am I meant to be here? And Melanie said, I don't think so. And then she looks around the house. And then she leaves. We see this, I think, maybe crazy lady. She's riding up and down the street in a scooter. Anyway, a week later, in the middle of the night, I'm not telling you to scare you, all right? But it was summer, so the windows were open. We leave the windows ajar. And Thomas was sick with a cold at that time. And so he was sniffing a lot. And so my wife hears that sound in the kitchen. And so she goes out to the kitchen to find Thomas. And it's dark and she's looking for Thomas and he's not there. But the sound was a robber cutting the fly screen open with the blade, getting ready to climb through our window. He just cut that and he pushed the door open. And he saw our little puppy barked at him. He cost a lot of money, that dog, and he continued to feed him, but he's already paid. He's a good investment. He barked. And the man must have seen my wife. He would have literally been like this far away because my wife was in the kitchen and he was standing in the window. And I got mad. I grabbed a cricket bat and I went into the backyard. I looked behind every bush. Don't ask me what I was going to do if I found him. But I got mad. And I went out into the street and I'm walking up and down the street and I'm looking for this guy because we called the police. They weren't there yet. But some of us need to get mad at the devil. Get the word of God and remind him and say, you know what? We read the back of the book and we win. You're defeated. At the cross, the keys were taken from you. At the cross, Jesus defeated you. At the cross, you were crushed under his heel. We need to get mad at the devil. Some of us need to get mad for what he's stolen from us. And say, I'm not just going to sit here passively and just let the devil walk over me. And let him walk over my family. Let the devil steal my mental health. Let the devil make me get into this pit of despair where I can't. I'm going to go back. I want it all back. I want whatever the devil stole from me, my ministry, my joy, my peace. I want it all back. Some of us have got to get angry with the devil again and stop being so passive. And let's declare, I shall recover all. I declare that in the house, you shall recover all. Pursue, pursue. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Get to the word of God. Say, God, I need a rhema word. Get that ephod of praise and worship and start getting your praise back. Start getting your prayer life back and going again and say, Lord, I refuse to sit idle. I'm sitting here. There might not be anyone else to even encourage me, but I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Let's stand in this place right now. Are you in Ziklag today? Are you discouraged? You feel like you're fighting an unwinnable battle? Does it feel like everything's stolen and taken? Your hope gone, dreams stolen, your passion gone? You can recover all. David's just like you and I. On the worst day of his life, he said, God, what do you want me to do? You want me to pursue and overtake? He said, go ahead, David. You shall surely recover all. Will it be easy? No, it's still a battle. You're going to have to take some action. It's going to take some persistence. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's going to take some commitment to say, come hell or high water, I'm not backing down until I recover all. Don't give up, brothers and sisters, for you shall recover all. You shall overtake. So David gets to his wit's end. Everybody say his wit's end. It's not such a bad place. He came to the end of himself. When you get to the bottom of the barrel, there's only one way to go, and that's to look up. He said, you know what? I'm here at my wit's end. I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to get that ephod. I'm going to begin to praise God again. You see, God is not going to forsake us. There are so many testimonies. If I just had the time to get people to testify, they will tell you that they were in Ziklag, but God brought them through. Amen. What have you lost in Ziklag? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? You can get it all back today. Declare to Satan, I want it all back. And so David recovered all, the Bible says in verse 18. All that the Amalekites, the exhausters, had taken. They had carried away. He recovered it all. And there was nothing lacking. Everyone say nothing lacking. Not small things, not big things. He got all the small things back. He got all the big things back. He got all the sons and daughters, got his wives back. He even got spoil. Let me tell you, God's going to give it back to you with interest. Amen. He got spoil, not anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And if you take notes, you ought to underline that right there. David recovered all. Let's lift our hands right now and let's make a declaration in this place. I don't want to stay in Ziklag any longer. I know this is a hard time. I know this is a dark time. But God, I've made up my mind. I want it all back. And Lord, I am claiming the victory that you've already won for me at Calvary. That I am not a victim, but I am a victor through you, Jesus. And that, Lord, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. But Lord Jesus, you came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. So I declare to the enemy of my soul, I want it all back. And I'm going to pursue from this day on. I'm going to leave this place today and I'm going to pursue it right now. I'm going to pursue and I know I will overtake and I will recover all in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands right now, church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you just cry out to God right now? There's a battle in the spirit realm right now. The devil like to tell you, you can't get out of this. The devil like to tell you that Ziklag is going to be forever, that you're stuck, but you have an ability to choose how you respond. You have a responsibility in Ziklag. You have an ability to make a response to that Ziklag experience today. I got an attitude today. Devil, I want it all back. I want it all back. Whatever the devil has stolen, I want it back. We're going to sing this song. But I want you to believe today that God is a God of restoration. God is a God of renewal. And He's a God of revival. Amen. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. Some of you need to come right here and you need to lay whatever's burdening you down and say, God, I've been carrying this burden too long. Even Jesus said, there's burdens that we carry that we shouldn't carry. He said, cast all your cares, cast your burdens to me. I care for you. Come to this altar, bow the knee, lay that burden down and say, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to move out of Ziklag today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. This altar is open as we sing right now. Come, come bow the knee before the Lord. In bowing your knee, you're saying, Lord, I humbly come before you. Lord, you are, Lord, everything I'm not. You must increase. I must decrease. Oh, yes, Jesus.